Look, my bitch is all bad, my niggas all real. I ride his dick in some big tall hills, big fat.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ignorant millennials. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, ignorant millennials. Welcome to our episode number.
Episode number 10. Number 10, 10 over there.
Episodes. Ignorant millennials, I just want to take this moment to thank everyone. Thank you for the love and the support of 10 episodes, Kat. Did you think we'd get here so soon?
Nah, I didn't think we'd get here so soon, but the love has been great. The feedback has been great.
Amazing.
Love it. Keep it coming. Even the criticism, keep it coming. Help us improve on ourselves as well.
Yes. We love all the feedback we've been receiving. And yes, we noticed that we posted something recently this week on a mini vacation that we took. So later on in the next coming few weeks, we have something special for you guys.
Yeah.
From that show. But yes, otherwise, how's your week been, Ken?
It's been great. Obviously, as you say, we went on that mini vacation.
That was
it was
nice,
great. Just a bit.
Chilled.
Yeah, chilled. Obviously, then, yeah. Well, yeah, last night, this whole Trevor Noah thing and Julius Malema. But it's all good.
It's
otherwise.
All good.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, guys, without further ado, today we have I know we say this a lot, but every show is quite special.
Yeah.
I think in one of our early episodes, we spoke a lot about like things that young people becoming or entering the workplace should be considering. And one of the big topics was about insurance.
Insurance, yeah.
Right? And we have a very special guest today.
Yeah.
Tepo, what's up?
I'm good. How are you, man?
You're good, man.
Good, man.
Welcome to the show, sure. Man.
No, thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks,
welcome,
man.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Glad to have you. Thank you for spending a Saturday morning. I'm sure it's not easy waking up early.
It's not. Actually, it's not. I actually got a call from work to come in. But
today?
Like, today.
Yo.
But I was like, Andy's.
Yeah, special guest makes special like moves for us. So yeah. Thank you for that. But yeah, so I mean, like we'd obviously reached out to talk about the show and today's content. But I think it'd be nice for our platform to just get a feel of who Tsepo is. And Catherine Fono lead our quick fire session.
All right, all right, all right. So we'll ask you like two questions. Or two options, you choose one of the options. Basically, that's how it goes down, man. So, Drake or Kanye West?
What a tough one.
It is a tough one. It is a tough one.
But I would lean more towards Drake, right? Because I just feel like...
He resonates with you
he's
more.
Taking it
He's taking it to a next step. Like, okay. I even saw now, I actually saw he bought
the jet.
The Boeing.
Oh, yeah.
Boeing
that's insane.
So, for me, I think... I know Kanye West is great and all. I think my only problem with him is this whole him being Jesus thing.
Jesus.
That's the only thing.
That's the only one.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But otherwise, his music is good. He does his thing. But for me, I'm going with
single dad Drake. Shout out to all the single fathers and single parents. Yeah, look after your kids. Yeah.
So the E63 M4?
Ah, tough one.
That's a very tough.
It's a very tough one.
I actually put up a poll of this on my Instagram.
Oh, yes. I saw that poll this morning.
It was crazy. So people were pulling this side. Others were pulling this side. At some point, it was like 50-50.
Yes.
But I stopped it this morning. Okay. And it was...
the poll was M4 versus C63.
Yes, versus C63 because I couldn't find a picture of an M4 and an
E63.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So at the end when I closed the poll, it was leaning towards the M4. So
the M4,
52% M4 and...
But I hear you. You're telling us people's...
I'm telling you because I don't know how to answer the question.
It's E63 or M4. Your last day on earth, you can only drive one of these two cars.
Okay, before I answer, let me just ask you. Right? I feel like an M4 is like, you know that cheese boy?
Okay.
He looks very good. He's good with the lady. Mm-hmm. He's just perfect.
Okay.
But with the E63, it resonates more with the guys. He's like that cool dude.
Okay.
He's always with the guys.
Grown, more mature. He's a man's man.
You know, when he gets there, he buys the drinks.
Lomzad.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, that being said, I'll take the cheese ball.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Simple. Okay. Straight to the point. Yeah.
Money or sex?
Money, definitely.
Okay.
Because with money, you can then buy sex.
Ooh.
Right?
Okay.
Guys, we're dropping jewels today. Like, look out and listen for everything being shared today.
All right. We won't dive any further into that. Colgate or Aquafresh?
I didn't even know that there's a difference.
There's a difference.
Oh, okay.
I just want Colgate.
Yeah. So. Oh. Someone's like, oh, buy me the Aquafresh Colgate.
The Aquafresh, you know, you know.
So yeah, I can tell you the difference. Because I like Colgate, I prefer it more. Aquafresh is more foamy, so.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, but okay. So yeah. You indifferent?
I'm indifferent.
Indifferent. Okay.
All right. Book or movie?
I feel like I've studied a lot.
Yeah.
Tired of books. So movie, definitely.
Movie. So okay.
Okay. All right. So would you watch these movies alone, or how do you watch a movie? Do you go alone? Do you go with somebody?
Do you go with people? That's weird as hell.
I used to go, like when I was single, I used to go to the movies alone.
So you're not single anymore?
Okay. No. But I used to go to the movies alone. Yeah. Awkward.
Yes, guys, it's awkward. Yeah. There's no need to force this.
I feel like people can see that you're alone.
Yeah. Mm. D-Mac goes alone to his movie. D-Mac, what's... Like, you've accepted this.
I watch all Marvel movies
by yourself. Yes. You know the one time he specifically did not want to watch a movie with Kat and I because he wanted to watch it by himself. It's still weird, though.
Yeah, no,
I think it's
so weird. With you watching all these movies alone, makes one wonder, like, why? What does Tepo do for a living? Does he not have time? What does he do?
Okay. So what I do for a living, I am an actuary by profession.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Have other side businesses on the side, but by profession, I'm an actuary. I studied actuarial sciences at the University of Pretoria.
Okay.
And what that is, it's actually difficult to explain because it's like, it's more about mathematics. Okay, so let me tell you just about my journey, how I ended up studying this thing. So I was in matric, and then I applied for the usual chemical engineering, law. Then after getting my results in January, someone told me that, actually, your results are very good. Why don't you study something more mathematical? So I was like, I don't even know these courses, you know, from a small village, not a village, but a small town back in Limpopo.
Okay.
So this guy told me all about actuarial sciences and everything. Then I did my research. Then I was like, you know what? I like what I see.
Yeah. Mm.
So let me try and call the universities to change and stuff like that. Okay. So I had applied to three universities, University of Pretoria, UCT, and Vets.
Yes.
So I called UCT. UCT said I had to fly in, speak to the dean, and if he accepts, then go back home, grab my stuff, and come back.
And start,
Come on, that's not...
Fly in from where, Limpopo?
Yeah, fly into Cape Town, speak to the dean.
Okay.
Then I was like, okay, that is not happening.
Mm.
I then drove to Vets, got to Vets, and then spoke to the dean. The guy was like, no, it's too late. Like, it's all filled up.
Yeah.
There's no timing. Mm. I was like, all right, cool. So my last option was actually the University of Pretoria.
Yeah.
When I got here, stood in those long queues. And then finally, I spoke to them, I gave them my results and stuff like that.
Mm.
And then they said, okay, we'll put you in the four-year program.
Okay.
I was like, okay, no, that's cool.
As opposed to what would be the normal program?
The normal program is 3 years and then 1 year honors. Okay. So they wanted to put me in the four-year program and then you're still going to do your honors. So I was like, okay, that's cool because I was not prepared for this initially.
Okay.
So it's cool. Put me in the longer period so that I can adjust.
Get to
it. Yeah. Then, long story short, after 2 days, I opened the portal and I was actually in the three-year program.
Wow.
Okay.
So I was like, okay.
Let's do this.
Yeah. So, but what the course is about, so they teach us a lot about mathematics, mathematical statistics, calculus. It's more mathematical based.
Okay.
Right? And then the jobs in which you can go in are your insurance industries. They love actuaries.
Yes.
Your banks.
Banks,
Your investment companies, your consulting companies. So there's a lot of opportunities to go into. And especially now, there's something that the Actuarial Society is starting. So it's called going into wider fields. So okay, instead of your
traditional
as opposed to your traditional one. So now actuaries can also be seen in these telecom companies and you know, so for me I like that. I like that I can go into so many different industries and learn so much with this one degree than having to study, you know, have to do MBAs or a lot of things. So I was like, ah, let me just do this. Actuarial science thing,
So when you wake up, because like, I don't know what, when an actuary wakes up, well, I have some insight though. What, right now, when you wake up, you say you're going to work, like you mentioned earlier, they called you at work. One would think that you work like in an IT environment, the system is falling down. Like on a weekend, why you've been called to come into work? What's the emergency? Why?
Okay. So before, when I was still in Cape Town, I worked at an insurance company, right? Now there, what I used to do is, we used to predict when people are going to die.
Okay.
Well,
sounds like scary. You build the models.
You build a model to predict when a guy's going to die. Okay. With that, with us doing that, we're doing it because say a guy comes in, he says, guys, I want 10 million life
cover.
Right? Okay, cool. Now, obviously, if we tell the guy you need to pay 5,000 rand per month, just a random number, right? Give him 5,000 rand to pay a month. If he pays two premiums and he dies, where are we going to get the 10 million from?
Yes.
Right?
Because now he's covered and then he now has a liable to pay that out.
So at some point, we need to predict when this guy's going to die so that we can predict how much he needs to pay and for how long till we can break even. And then from there, it's profits.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So
let's do you, like, can we just go into a little bit more in that?
Okay.
So when you say break even and then you start making profits, like in a much more simpler term, so how do you get to that break even and the point at which you now start making profits from the insurance perspective, what do they do with those profits? Is it put away somewhere?
Okay.
Is it, what do they do with it?
Okay. Yeah. So still on the same example.
Yes.
So the guy's paying 5,000 rand.
Mm.
We've predicted that this guy's going to die when he's 50 years old.
Okay.
He is now maybe 20 years old. And then we've predicted that we'll break even when he's 30 years old. Right?
Oh, okay.
So just 10 years. So what happens is that when the guy pays us the premiums, we actually invest this money.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We invest the money in such a way that after 10 years, if you calculate the premiums to date that he has paid, it's still not the 10 million. But because we've invested that money,
it
already covers the 10 million that we need to pay him out. And then now going forward, whatever he gives us is now just profit.
Profits,
And because we are dealing with a lot of people, so it's the law of large numbers now.
Yes.
Because now we have a lot of people, we are pooling the risk.
All of those funds,
Because obviously if you have, say maybe 100 people, they are all not going to die
the same time. Yes.
No. The person who dies first, we're going to use the other people's money to pay him. And then, unfortunately, you're not dying, so you're not losing, but you're using your money to pay the other guys.
The other guys. And I'm assuming that's a concept that applies in different parts of insurance, be it medical insurance, be it car insurance, all of those things.
Yeah.
Okay. So that whole after 10 years, we can give you a portion of your premiums back. That's just...
We've already made a shitload of money. So now we can just give you a portion, you know?
Like you mentioned, like that's, you guys basically derive those formulas. Do those formulas change? Because surely you don't go every day to work on one formula, like, because...
Those formulas do change, but depending on the population.
Okay.
So there are different populations. I mean, people in Sandton are expected to live longer because they have better healthcare facilities.
Okay.
They have better gyms, they take care of themselves.
They're just in a better position to take care of themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
Than someone who I would say, I don't want to mention, like, say maybe a guy living in LA. So it's a bit...
So because they're next to each other and it's a nice contrast.
You know what I mean? So the Alex guy does not really have a lot of money, so stuff that he eats are like amaguinha, you know, things like that. So things that are not healthy.
If you guys, like, say for example, if you work at company XY, right? At XY there's like 10 actuaries. Like, I'm thinking in one particular department, what are the, what are those 10 actuaries doing on every day, like when they get a job? Because in IT, I can tell you, like, for example, if we have like 10 BAs and 10 developers, they're not, we're all working on the same thing. So what is it that you guys are doing? Like, if there's 10 of you in one particular department in that company, what is your job?
One particular department or one particular team?
Team, both ways. Okay. Yeah, let's break it down there.
So in the team, that's why we have smaller teams. So you'd find that we have a team of four people. It's the manager and three analysts.
Okay.
Right? So like you're saying, you don't need a big team because the majority of the work that is being done, the things are being built, they've been built, right? They're there. So what you need to do is just to analyze new products, analyze the existing products. Are we still doing well? And then maybe come up with innovative stuff, you know. So it's not, you don't really need a lot of people in the team if everything, if systems are in place.
All right.
So then your experiences, to your example earlier, has been in the insurance world. So, so take the typical platform member that engages in our show, somewhere between 20 and 35, right? So to that person, what should they understand about insurance, and say, what are the different types of insurance that are out there that are, would be applicable to them? So, I mean, I know maybe a insurance on my car and like maybe not much else at this point, but what else is out there and what should these people understand about insurance?
Okay. So firstly, I'd like to say insurance is not a scam.
Okay.
I feel like it gives you cat.
You just said you take other people's money to pay somebody else. That sounds like a scam to me.
It's not a scam. It's not a triple M where we can't sustain what we're doing.
Yeah.
With triple M, the reason it's called a pyramid scheme is because you need, this guy needs to pay this one for the scheme to continue. So if this guy's not there anymore, then no one is paying this guy. That's why collapses, the whole pyramid thing collapses.
Okay.
But with us, like I'm saying,
yeah,
we don't the only time we might use other people's money to pay you is if you have, we have not yet broken even at your policy. You understand what I mean? So if we have not yet broken even and we did promise you this money, then we will use other people's money.
Okay.
So that being said, it is not a scam. It gives you peace of mind. I mean, Bafana.
Yes.
I mean, you're
covered.
You're covered. You know, if your car gets stolen, they'll pay, hopefully, if there's no like fraud. And
Excuse me.
And do you see, do you see a lot of like insurance fraud when people either claim, or is fraud a heavy issue when it comes to insurance?
It is a heavy issue because it does not only happen at the end stage, as in say a person has now, they claim that they are now dead and that you need to pay for them. It not only happens at that stage, it happens when a person approaches an insurance company for the first time because he approaches them with a plan.
Yes.
Saying, okay, I'm here, I'm going to produce these documents, and then after maybe 2-3 years, I'm going to now defraud them like that.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that, that there's a lot of fraud like that that happens. And that's why the guys are working very hard to try and, you know. And I mean, another fraud is, Kat, you've been paying insurance on your car, say, for 5 years.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I've been paying for so long.
Yeah.
I haven't claimed.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just crash my car so that I can get a new one. That is that is fraud.
The form of fraud,
it is, because if your car is insured for retail value, that's basically what it means. If you crash it, they'll buy you a new one.
And then you touched on then retail value. So you can insure your your car, whatever asset you're covering, at different values.
Yes, so you can either insure it at the retail value or market value.
What's the difference?
Yeah. The difference, retail value, new from the box.
Okay.
Market value, secondhand.
The
market
value of that same car today.
Today.
Mm-hmm. So okay.
The price that a person is willing to pay for your car right now. Mm-hmm. So that's the market value. It's the market that decides those prices.
What should people be... Relatively, and I know it's dependent on a number of things, but what is more comfortable, at least for you, to insure your car at, of between the two? Maybe your rationale for the choice.
For me, I'd say if you have the money, go for retail. Yeah, but if you don't really have the money, because insurance is expensive, I'd say go for market value.
Yeah.
Not only is it expensive, you guys don't want to pay, you have high excesses, and you always look so actually I have a lot of questions. Why the excesses?
Okay, let me touch on that. So excess is a form of excess is money that you need to pay to the insurance company. First of all, that's the definition. Right now, the reason there's excess is because we want to hold you accountable of some sort. We know that we said if we're you crash the car, we'll pay you, but you need to take some form of responsibility. If there's no access, then
everyone
will just go around crashing. Then us buying them new cars, right? Okay. But if you know that if I crash my car, I'll need to cough out 30,000 before they can fix my car, then you're gonna think twice before you start drinking and driving.
So be extra careful. Right?
You're going to be extra careful.
It's like a behavioral correction type of...
It is.
Okay.
But we don't have that in medical insurance. So not as well like I go and run around in the cold because I have to get flu knowing that I'm going to... Like I have medical insurance. You don't do that.
But the thing is with medical insurance, they don't pay you cash. What happens is that they'll pay for your hospital bills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Who wants to sit in a
But it's not, it's not, it's the same thing even with car insurance. Like if I hit into somebody, they're not going to give me cash. They're going to fix the car.
But now you have new parts or you have a new car.
Now I'm back and I have good health.
Okay, wait, on the point of access, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, surely there's a reasonable level of what can be access. So, for example, we encountered a friend of ours recently where... I think they had a car that's in like the Rio and Polo range, roughly, and they had to pay an excess of 60,000. 60,000 on that range of car. So, I mean, what are like some of the terms? So if I'm about to sign an insurance contract, right, what are the specific things I should look out for and make sure I've considered or have noted?
So the specific things are... When you actually get that call from an insurance company and you're doing the whole quote.
Okay.
So at the end of the quote, they'll tell you this is your premium and they'll probably tell you this is your excess.
Okay.
Right? Now, how it works is that if you have a lower premium, your excess is higher.
Okay.
Right? If you have a higher premium, your excess is lower.
Okay.
So...
And I know like products like Discovery, they have zero access.
Yes. Yeah. There are some, like my insurer also, it has zero access.
Okay.
Now, it's a bit difficult to find those kind of insurance companies because for them to give you no access, you kind of have to have a history first.
Okay.
Where you've had insurance before, uninterrupted insurance before, and then you've been paying well enough to a point where they're like, you don't really need an access. You don't claim. And you remember the whole, what's that company that gives you 400 Rand?
Outsurance.
Yeah. So with Outsurance, you do a quote with them. Mm. And then if they can't beat your quote, it's 400 Rand. Mm. But if you have never claimed, then they give you 800 Rand. I've tried it. It works. They actually give you the money.
Yeah. Dimak, you've tried that before, right? Did you get your money?
I didn't get my money till today.
You and I, mate. You and I.
You too.
I guess as well.
Like you guys are.
Yeah. So, because I mean, then we start thinking like, are these things even real? Like, do they even get you? But we also know about the insurance, the ombudsman. I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of people encounter issues, be it within their whole insurance ecosystem. Yeah. So, what is the role of this ombudsman, and what is their role?
Okay, so an ombudsman is basically a regulator. Oh, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So this is like a guy who doesn't pick sides.
Mm.
He doesn't care if it's a big insurance company or if it's just cats, say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So say perhaps Cat, you didn't get your 400 rand. You can write to the ombudsman and tell them that, no, I did whatever they said I must do. Mm-hmm. I provided them with my code.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me this code and they still didn't want to pay me the 400 rand.
Mm-hmm.
You write a letter to him.
Right? Okay.
He then takes the letter and then he does his investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the insurance company and asks them, but this guy provided everything. Why didn't you pay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Probably give their reasons. And then if he feels that their reasons are not well enough or they're not sufficient,
okay,
then he will request them to pay you your 400
mm-hmm.
rand, and they'll have to do it.
Yeah, but then also, why is the ombudsman, with the significance of their role, why is it so hard for people to know that these people exist? I mean, I don't, and I'm grateful that you came on the show. Like, where are these people? Where are they sitting? Do I need to have a special friend or contact? Are they?
They're actually sitting in the fine print on your policy document.
Snap, like all documents most likely have that.
They probably have the ombudsman details there. They actually put, it's a regulation that
yes.
The policy document must have those details for people who don't know to engage with the ombudsman if they have problems.
So with that said, what would you say are the things for one to look out for when getting insurance? Because it sounds like it's hidden detail about the ombudsman. It's not that transparent.
I wouldn't say it's hidden.
Okay.
If you know, you know.
Mm.
Right? I think it's...
if you know. Most people don't know.
Most people don't know because... They just think, okay, fine, insurance company is this holy place. If I have a problem, they'll fix it. But they'll only fix it if everything is fine. If you haven't lied, if all your papers are in order. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if insurance companies start now coming to tell you, Kat, no, call the ombudsman.
Yeah.
It's like they are trying to tell you that they are not actually good, or they won't pay you out, or you know what I mean?
Nah, it's not about
it's
that.
It's like looking at the negatives.
Nah, it's not about that.
Say.
So here it is. So the ombudsman is a point of escalation, basically,
yes.
right? So
yes.
in whatever company you work for or whatever, right?
Yeah.
When you introduce to a client, can be a client internally within the company,
yeah.
like another department, you got them as your client there in the company. When they introduce, hi, this is Tepo, and whatever, then Tepo's manager, you need to introduce as to who is the point of escalation for if Tepo fails at something. That's just standard procedure as well. It needs to be transparent. So I know
and
if
like
Tepo
said,
messes
it
up.
It is there in the document.
Yeah.
It is there. Did you know that the ombudsman is not only for insurance companies? There's a property ombudsman.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, well, every sector and industry has
it does
this person
have
that does
person.
It all.
Yeah, it's like a judge or something. But anyway, back to your question. So what I'd say you should look out for.
Yeah.
So firstly, price, be price conscious.
Okay.
If you can afford it, go for it. If you can't, leave it.
Okay.
Compare different insurers.
Yes.
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 That
yes.
is very important. Compare different insurers because the calculations are not the same. The profit margins for each company are not the same. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say check reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So online, Hello Peter, if people are complaining about it.
Okay.
But bear in mind that the people who actually write to Hello Peter are either two things.
Mm.
So they're either very disappointed
yes.
or they're
very
happy.
So you must consider that.
Consider that. Yeah. Because I mean, most people
don't yeah.
They just let it slide.
The guys were really impressed when I say something or really
yeah.
like pissed
yeah.
off.
So just a quick question. You don't have to go deep into it.
Yeah.
Why is it that most of our premiums do not decrease annually?
Actually, there is a company that is doing that.
Mm.
The company is called King Price.
Yes, yes, yes.
So King Price Insurance, their model is based on when you come in, you start off with a high premium.
Yes.
If you keep paying well, there are no issues with the debit orders, you are not claiming, then your premium actually goes low
yes.
every year.
Okay.
Now, I hear you. You told me that there is such a company,
yes.
but you've not answered me as to why they don't go down.
It does go down with that company, right?
No,
okay,
generally,
company,
yes.
Generally, you're going to say, you didn't know this, but anyway, generally, with a life insurance company, right? Mm. Or with any insurer, your premium has to go down either in the first year, the third year, or the fifth year.
Okay.
Or all 3 years, or all of these,
yes,
all these
yes,
that I've
points,
mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it goes down because of something called the no claims bonus.
Okay.
Right? We've learned about it.
Yes, yeah.
So what happens is that after 1 year, the insurer has to actually review your policy, how you've been paying.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're happy with that, it goes down.
Mm.
And if you haven't been claiming. After 3 years, they'll review it again. Then your premium will go down again.
Okay.
After 5 years, it will go down again.
Then,
if your insurer does not do that automatically, you can give them a call.
Okay.
And ask for that no claims bonus. And then they'll decrease it.
Okay.
So then pretty much platform, I think it's quite obvious that everyone needs to actually sit down and consider and look at their documents. I know we just normally get it.
And
sign it,
sign
it, and just like send it, give me the call, give me the house, like I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like costs that are hidden and like things you need to consider. But I think, thank you for today, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like I think I learned quite a lot today.
I definitely did.
I didn't know what the ombudsman thing being at like the bottom of each document.
Yeah,
but I mean,
it's actually there. It's either at the bottom or maybe at the end.
Okay.
Where they have all their addresses and stuff.
But it's there.
But it is there.
But it's there. Guys, listen, I mean, please, we invite you to engage with us on all of our platforms.
Definitely.
If you have further questions or like to share more of your insights, please drop them either on our comment section. Please like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Do the same on all our other platforms. Send us DMs, emails, if you have questions, thoughts, anything. That's what the whole platform is about. But thank you so much, man.
No, thank
you
very much.
I really enjoyed our chat today.
Thank you
very much.
No, all right.
Thanks
for having me.
All right, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
Enjoy.